hydrate. I have allergies, but I also am getting over one of those springtime colds that comes on quickly, you know? Lots of fun, right? So excuse me while I hydrate. Well, it is a pleasure for me to be here with you this morning at St. Paul's. You may have had a chance to look briefly at the insert in the bulletin where some of my bio stuff is, but I always believe that in coming into a new place, a new person, it's good for me to put a little few things in perspective. So in addition to that, I will add some of this narrative about me. I was born and raised here in Illinois. I should say Chicago, because some people say that's not really Illinois. So I went to school in Chicago. I was raised in a Roman Catholic family and went to Roman Catholic seminary for 6 years. Went to Loyola University, where I met my wife-to-be. We moved from Chicago to St. Louis for 11 years, then to Indianapolis and New Jersey. In those years, I was a writer and producer, radio, television, and film commercials, multimedia, and ended up in sales and marketing. Those moves brought us to New Jersey, where we lived in two places in New Jersey, and where I revisited the vocation that I thought I had when I was younger in the Roman Church and found it in the Episcopal Church. I was ordained in 1990 and had two congregations in New Jersey. One in New Jersey, one in Paramus, New Jersey, not often considered the garden spot of New Jersey, but it is you can shop there a lot. And the other place that I was called to was eventually upstate New York, in the Finger Lakes region, in a town called Canandaigua, which is actually one of the Finger Lakes. And I was there for 14 and a half years, leading that congregation. I left that to join the bishop's staff as canon to the ordinary. And then, as I neared my retirement time, I did some interim work in a couple of congregations. I've been retired now for 6 years. I was married, had two sons, I still have two sons. I, in my retirement, as well as in my ministry, have been a spiritual director. I sit with people who are seeking to know where God may be leading them in their lives, and I share with them my listenings and my prayers on a regular basis. It's something that I was trained for and called to do, and it has been a rich experience for me, particularly in my retirement years. And I work very closely with a group in Washington, D.C. called the Shalem Institute for Spiritual Formation. Shalem is a derivative of the word shalom, and it means wholeness. It's about the wholeness of being a human being. And so I do a lot of work in contemplative listening, deep listening, and helping people to understand how that is part of our Christian mystical tradition. And so there's been a great reawakening in recent years around contemplative theology as well as contemplative practice, and it's one of those things that I bring to my work. But in all of this goodness and wonderful stuff, there has been some difficult times along the way, and And most recently, it was in 2013. In June of 2013, my wife was stricken with an immune system disease of unknown origin. Never been ill with anything like that. She was hospitalized for 45 days. She was near death on numerous occasions. She recovered enough to be able to come home, and we were hopeful that whatever had triggered this event had now been subdued. She was home for 28 days, and it recurred again. To a weakened and diminished person, and she was overwhelming. So from the beginning of September until October 9th, on the day she died, she struggled to just be alive. It's a heavy experience for me on a Mother's Day to talk about that. I do have a troubled heart. I have a troubled heart. I have been blessed. I have been very blessed since that time with my sons and our relationship. But even more so, on a trip to Paris, I met someone. Someone who lives in Bloomington, Illinois. A clergywoman. Imagine that. Who lost her husband at the same time. She's right there. I have been very blessed, but I still continue to bear this troubled heart. As we were looking at our new life together and me shedding an old life, I'd been in upstate New York for 22 years in a home that I had shared with my first wife, in a place that I had been comfortable in. I now felt displaced. I felt discomforted. It was like I was lost. And so I had to go through this whole transition. And if you've gone through one of these transitions, you know how incredibly hard it is to just get the energy to get a house ready, to sell a house, to move, to relocate, to come to a place that maybe you were born in or near, but it has been unfamiliar to you for almost 50 years. My heart is troubled. I'm happy, and I'm in love, and I'm blessed. But my heart is troubled. It is a feeling of dislocation and displacement that is more than just a geographical situation for me. I became aware of that as I was preparing for this morning. Jenny and Jonathan had met me a couple of times that Teresa and I have worshipped here, and had invited me to come and be with you while they were in Israel. And we had a gracious time together one lunchtime, and they invited me to consider being part of this community, because they could tell too that I was at sea and lost and was needing something. It was in preparing for this and in these scriptures this morning that something was reawakened in me. Our two scripture lessons this morning, one from 1 Peter and the other from the Gospel of John, are about troubled hearts. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Well, it's almost like a throwaway line to the ears of those who hear it, because it sounds nice. But when you're sitting there in the midst of troubledness and lostness and displacement, it doesn't mean much. But Jesus goes on to tell them that I will be with you, that I will prepare a place for you, that you will not be alone. And then in 1 Peter, we have this passage about the stones, the living stones, that Jesus is the living stone and we are living stones who have been built into a living place. The community that Peter was writing to were people who were displaced. They were dispossessed socially, economically, politically. They had no idea where they were going. There is a Thomas Merton prayer. Thomas Merton, the great contemplative theologian and monk, who in the midst of everything that his life has meant, writes these words of prayer, Lord, Lord, I do not know where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. And so on this Sunday in Easter, we're invited to be aware of our troubledness, of our dislocation, of our discomfort. We live in a world right now that is very different from the world I grew up in. Stepsons who are younger that we have talked to are disturbed. They've never seen anything like this. We are in the midst of all kinds of conflict and turmoil. And I would say that more than one of us here this morning has a troubled heart. Our gospel and our lesson this morning are an invitation to us to pay attention to where we are now. In this moment here. In this place here. That this is where life is. This is where presence is. This is where, in a few moments, the one who rose and changed everything will be with us and for us. And so we're invited to bring our troubled hearts into this community of living stones, for it is here that we will know the risen Lord. And it is from here that we will go forth to proclaim, Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.